Welcome to the Basketball Index Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor, and today we're going to be talking playoff predictions for the first round. It's pretty funny. I was prepping for the episode, and I pulled up what the bracket, just so I'd have everything organized in front of me, and I was staring at it, and I couldn't figure out what was wrong. I just Googled NBA playoff bracket, went to images, and the bracket was all the way filled in, round 1, 2, 3, and 4. Looked at it for like a good minute before I was like, oh, this is last year, so that's why it's completely full. But let's get into it. We're going to go matchup by matchup, talking about who I think has the edge, and then the who, what, where, when, and why. I made the same mistake. Somehow I looked up the 2022 NBA playoff bracket, and then I looked up the 2020 NBA bracket. Here we go. All right, let's start in the West. Oh, just disclaimer. The first day of games have started, so I guess I have a little bit of extra information. It doesn't actually change who I was going to pick in any of the series, but like the Lakers lost to the Nuggets earlier today, and the Suns lost to the Timberwolves, et cetera, et cetera. But it's just one game for a couple of games, and it, again, didn't swing any of my decisions. But just wanted to be upfront about that. So let's start in the West. Let's start at the top of the bracket. Oklahoma City is the 1 seed playing the Pelicans, who are the 8th seed. I'm glad I didn't have to pick the play-in games because I got a good chunk. Oh, well, I'd had the Heat and the Sixers. I had those both right. I had the Bulls winning. That was right. So I was good in the East. And then in the West, I had the Lakers winning over the Pelicans. But then I had Golden State. I thought they were going to beat the Kings. You know, shorthanded, missing Malik Monk and Kevin Herter. They don't. That was surprising. And then when Zion got hurt, I thought, oh, surely then the Kings would win. They're hot. They're playing well. Yada, yada, yada. And then whatever. I'm glad I didn't have to do that. Would have been wrong. But let's start in the official playoffs. Oklahoma City is the 1 seed. The Pelicans are the 8th seed. I could see the Pelicans giving Oklahoma City a little bit of trouble. You know, maybe they win 4-2 Oklahoma City instead of a sweep or a 5-game series, because there is a fair amount of talent on the Pelicans roster. The problem with them, and it's been for a couple of years, it's just extremely unoptimized talent. I always say this is what happens if, like, a teenager playing 2K made a team where there's a lot of guys that can score 20 points in a game. And there's Herb Jones, who plays defense, and like that's kind of it. And there's not a lot of connecting. There's not a lot of playmaking, and it's tough because they basically got CJ McCollum for free a couple years ago. So he's still a pretty solid player. He's like a B minus, maybe C plus player, maybe B minus, where he has some amount of value. He's a pretty good offensive player, really good 3-point shooter, but has obvious flaws and weaknesses. But it's just him and Brandon Ingram and Zion and Valanciunas, where it's like, okay, and none of these players are really defensive-oriented players, and none of them are particularly great passers. Brandon Ingram's probably the best of the bunch, and we don't really throw him in with elite passers. Zion's hurt. That further complicates things. But Oklahoma City, you know, really like their big three a lot. Their young players played really well this year. It's a different animal in the playoffs, and I'm sure there's going to be some hiccups, but there's a lot of talent, and SGA should just be able to win the series by himself, so it doesn't really matter here. So we'll move on. There is a lot to learn about OKC in this playoff run. I think that's going to be one of the big takeaways from the playoffs. They really overachieved in the regular season. You know, obviously got the 1 seed, were the super hyped up team. Jalen Williams looks really good. Chet looks like a really fantastic two-way player. So very exciting for OKC, and I expect them to take care of business here in the first round. Clippers and Mavericks. So Clippers are the 4 seed, Mavs are the 5 seed. I'll just start with, I think the Mavericks are going to the Western Conference Finals, so I obviously think they're going to be the Clippers. I think the Clippers are a pretty good team. Obviously, started out slow, got James Harden acclimated, played really well for a few months. Russell Westbrook got hurt, they're a little dinged up, and didn't finish the season strong. I think Harden, there's a lot of miles on the tires, right? And he seems to have trouble finishing seasons the last few years. He is getting older. He is seemingly a better player in month 2 and 3 of the regular season than he is in the playoffs. And that's unfortunate. It's not so much that I feel super strongly about the Clippers. I actually think their team, Once they add, you know, they added Russell Westbrook at the end of last year, that seemed to help having a ball handler, and then getting James Harden for really not very much at all via trade at the beginning of the season was also very good for them. So things went well for the Clippers this year. I think they're a pretty quality team. Paul George had a really fantastic year. It looks like Kawhi Leonard is hurt, which that was kind of news to me that he's not going to be playing. So that's complicated. The Mavericks, Luka playing at an MVP level. Kyrie has been fantastic this year. Trading for Daniel Gafford, that's worked out really well. Trading for PJ Washington, I like the idea of forward that could space it. He has not played very well since the trade deadline, or the trade since the acquisition has happened. But you know, there's a chance for him to play well in the playoffs. He's always been an intriguing player. Both with Gafford and PJ Washington, in my mind, they were about C-level players, but it was very unclear how good they were because they were in such poor situations. And playing with Luka and Kyrie, along with Lively, who had a fantastic rookie year, like all of a sudden you're like, okay, there's quite a few pieces here. Hardaway Jr. is a really, really great three-point option. Dante Exum is apparently reborn. So there all of a sudden is some depth on this team. There's some options, but I think Luka's playing at a level right now where he could just straight up beat the Clippers. I think he's going to beat Oklahoma City when he comes across them. And then the Western Conference Finals, we'll see, who knows. But that, I guess, technically is an upset pick because the Mavericks are the 5 seed, Clippers are the 4. I think that's probably a pretty popular, if you're going to pick upsets, that. And then probably the next one we're going to move to is the Timberwolves and the Suns. So the Timberwolves took the first game. They looked really, really good. Gobert looked good. Anthony Edwards, I think I'm pretty much ready for him to be. I've been a little hesitant to put him into, you know, the upper echelons, the elite categories, the top 20 players in the league. Obviously had a really good year this year, looked really great in the playoffs. The athleticism, the energy, he looked really good defensively today in spurts. There's just a lot to like, obviously. I think that there's a movement to try to make him the face of the league, totally understandable. But I still have a lot of faith in the Suns. Obviously, they're down 1-0 after today. Timberwolves, fantastic defensive team, but Booker didn't have a particularly good game. Bradley Beal, you know, so-so. But I just kind of believe in the Booker-Kevin Durant two-headed monster being able to beat the Timberwolves, just kind of out-talent them from a top-end standpoint. I'm worried about the Timberwolves' offense just not having enough. Today, they look good. They got contributions from kind of all over the team. Obviously, Ant's going to carry the majority of that weight in terms of scoring, but I don't know. I'm just leaning towards Booker and Durant. I think Booker's going to get hot in the series. He's been a really good playoff performer last year, was really, really excellent, had one of the best scoring runs of the last 20 years. If you want to check that out, go to my bio and on my Twitter. And it was the most previous episode. We talked about modern playoff scoring runs, me and Filippo. So we put that together. You can check it out for free. And you can see where exactly Devin Booker's scoring run ranked last year relative to other players. So really, really, really highly. A spoiler, but I don't know. I'm feeling the Suns. I don't love the Timberwolves, mostly from an offensive standpoint. I think they're going to stall out. I think as the series gets deeper and you know you have to make your adjustments and your counter adjustments and whatnot, you're going to realize that the Timberwolves just don't have a ton to go to when Ant's scoring a ton of points and working off that isn't happening. Because you know, Mike Conley's, you know, I like him as a player, but at 36 years old, I do question how much is really left in the tank. Good three-point shooter, good passer, but just doesn't have the legs that he did 5 years ago. So I'm taking the Suns over the Timberwolves. That would be another upset because the Suns are the 6th seed and the Timberwolves are the 3 seed. The last matchup here in the West is the Denver Nuggets and the Los Angeles Lakers. Denver took game one, you know, it looked pretty even in the first half, and then Denver was able to pull away at the end of the third, and just Lakers did not have enough gas in the tank in the fourth to try to close it. Anthony Davis and LeBron played really well. Jokic played well. Jamal Murray, whew, man, he's a Laker killer. And, man, it can just get so hot. When he gets hot, there's just nothing you can do. The Nuggets are just unstoppable. And that was the case today. You know, we saw at one point there was the pick and roll. Jamal Murray to Jokic. They were worried about the floater. They rotate over, try to stop that, and then he hits Aaron Gordon cutting on the baseline for the alley-oop. Like, the signature, when you think of this Denver Nuggets in a few years, this sort of era, that's what you're going to imagine. And when it happens, it's just really, well, it's one, it's beautiful, it's well-orchestrated, and also, it's just so unstoppable. I think the only way the Lakers pull this one out is if they find or invent a time machine. If they can send AD and LeBron back to 2020, I think they probably could win the series. But no time machine, I don't think it's going to happen. So Denver over the Lakers in this series. Let's move to the East. So wow, we're making pretty good time here. Boston. Oh, okay. So Jimmy Butler's hurt. Oh, I would have loved. Boston's the one seed. Heat are the eight seed. If Jimmy was healthy, I would have loved the Heat to knock out the Celtics in the first round. That just would have been hilarious to me. But this Celtics team, I know they've been the cream of the crop for the last few years, but with Porzingis and Jrue Holiday, and specifically Porzingis having such a strong year, I don't see them struggling too much with the Heat. I think they win this series pretty easily. They're also an Eastern Conference Finals team for me, because after that, they're going to play the winner of Cavs Magic, which, if you watch today, just wasn't super impressive. And the Celtics, very, very good this year on both sides of the ball. They're extremely deep with not only like just depth, but they have a lot of top 50 players on their roster. I think they have five last time I counted, which is just crazy. So I think they're an easy win over the Heat. That are, if the Heat can figure out how to win without Jimmy Butler, then I don't know what's going on over there. But I think the Celtics are a pretty easy bet for the Eastern Conference Finals. Moving on, we have the Cavs as the 4 seed and the Magic as the 5 seed. I watched them today. Both these teams, good defensive teams, especially the Magic, but neither of these teams particularly good offensively. The one difference is Donovan Mitchell's on the Cavs, and he's just so much better than any other player in the series. That was pretty obvious today. I think the Magic's strength is their size. They're a really big team. Unfortunately, the Cavs can handle that well. They have Mobley, they have Jared Allen, and they even like to play them together. So that advantage that the Magic have of just being gigantic, it seems like their team's all power forwards, isn't going to be as effective. I think the Cavs are going to be ready for that. And again, having Donovan Mitchell, it's just going to be too much to overcome. If you get in a track meet, the Magic, they just can't outscore teams. It's a real problem. Their defense, very good. And you saw that today, but I just ultimately, Donovan Mitchell is going to win the series. This is an interesting one. I think this would be the other popular upset for people to be picking. Bucks are the 3 seed. Pacers are the 6 seed. Pacers are that dangerous, super high-octane offense. Tyrese Halliburton has been playing at an all-NBA level this year. They trade for Siakam at the deadline. That was kind of an interesting go-for-it move. And I ultimately don't think it's going to be enough. I think the Bucks are going to be able to... Oh, I guess there's the Giannis injury that kind of throws things into sort of a question mark. But Dame, I know he hasn't had the greatest year, but it's still, like, if you remove the name and you just look at the numbers, you're like, this still is, like, pretty good numbers to be putting up. Brooke Lopez is still there. Chris Middleton is still there. Yes, they are an older team, but I think they're still solid enough to where they can just, again, like they've been doing all year, they can overwhelm problems that they should be able to overwhelm, and they'll continue into the next round of the playoffs. So I think the Bucks win this series, but I think this could be one of the most interesting series in the first round. I think if you're going to pick an upset, this is a really popular one to pick. And then the last one is the Knicks and the 76ers. So, oh man, so Embiid threw a dunk to himself an alley-oop off the backboard for a dunk, and he hurt his knee, went to the locker room, looked really scary, was not moving very well after that. And it's just kind of a shame. I think it's like the third year in a row that he's been hurt in the playoffs, so you haven't really seen him get to go 100%. Obviously, he played so well at the beginning of the year. But I think the Knicks are going to take this one. They're the 2 seed. Sixers are the 7 seed. The Sixers are a good team. Tyrese Maxey has always performed well in the playoffs. He looked really great today. They added pieces. They have, you know, Buddy Hield. They added Nick Batum. There's quite a few contributors on the Sixers. They're not a bad team. But ultimately, I don't think it's going to be enough with a hobbled Embiid. I just don't think it really matters. That's how basketball is, unfortunately, a lot of the time, where it's like, who has the better player? Who has the better top 2 players? Are those players healthy? we like to talk about the role players because they do matter, and they are, you know, in a game of inches type thing, they do play a part. But when your best player's hobbled, it's just really hard to overcome a really quality Knicks team. This Knicks team benefits from a salary cap situation where they're not paying any player crazy amounts of money, and that results in them having insane depth because Julius Randle and Jalen Brunson are the two highest paid players on the team. Neither of their contracts are very large, so they're able to have a seventh, an eighth, a ninth guy on the bench that is pretty quality because that money's spread out differently in a way that a lot of other teams are not. So the Knicks' incredible depth has been tested. You could definitely tell they were missing Randle today in terms of just kind of scoring pop, but Josh Hart had a big game, a lot of big rebounds, hit some threes late. Hartenstein playing at a really high level. They got Mitchell Robinson back. He played a little bit, and there was a surprising amount of bounce in his legs for having a long-term injury this year. It came back right at the end of the year, but yeah, that's gonna do it for the first round in terms of predictions. So just running through it, have Oklahoma City beating the Pelicans, the Mavericks beating the Clippers, Suns over the Timberwolves, Nuggets over the Lakers, Celtics over the Heat, Cavaliers over the Magic, Bucks over the Pacers, and Knicks over the 76ers. In terms of upsets, my two upset picks are the Phoenix Suns over the Timberwolves and the Mavs over the Clippers. I would love if the Lakers upset the Nuggets. That would be really fun. But I was actually talking about this because even if it did happen, I think the Lakers would have to expend so much energy in the series. They would just lose in the next round. They would just kind of use up what they had. So even if they were to somehow upset the Nuggets, because obviously that's going to be the main storyline, LeBron, Anthony Davis, the star power, Los Angeles. Because like you got to beat the Lakers. You got to beat the players, and you got to beat the logo on their chest sometimes. There's a little bit of playoff aura that jersey has. It didn't affect the role players today, but you know, there always is that. Same with the Celtics, honestly. Like, you're playing against Tatum and you're playing against Drew Holiday, but you're also playing against the logo, and it can be a little intimidating sometimes. But that's going to do it for predictions of the first round here in the 2024 playoffs, and I'll see you on the next episode of the Basketball Index Podcast.